Let's take our Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 4. Let's read verse 16 through 24. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael. Mahujael begat Methusael. Methusael begat Lamech. Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabel. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech, said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and 7-fold. Today, the title of our message and the title of the portion of Scripture that we're looking at is In the Beginning, God. And our passage of Scripture deals with the line of Cain. The line of Cain. Adam and Eve had two sons. One was named Cain. One was named Abel. One was going to be the sinful seed, the line of sinners and unbelievers. One was going to be a godly seed, the line through which worshippers and believers in God would come. Cain killed his brother Abel, ending that line immediately. And in the last part of our fourth chapter, we find the birth of Seth. And Seth will become the line of godly folks and godly believers and worshipers. It's through the line of Seth we will eventually come to Noah. And those that are spared and saved in the flood of Noah's day. Cain is the line of the sinful man, the sinful. Most of the earth maybe was populated through Cain's line. And Cain's line can be found all the way up to the time of Noah also. But none of Cain's line, none of Cain's heritage go onto the ark. And all of his seed are ultimately destroyed when God sends the flood of Noah's day. Only Noah, the descendant of this godly line of Seth, goes on to the ark with his sons and their wives, and mankind will all now trace themselves back to the descendants, the sons of Noah. In our portion of reading this morning, we find this description of the line of Cain. There are seven generations found in our reading this morning. Seven generations from Adam that bring us to Noah and the destruction of mankind and the destruction of the world with the flood that God sends. In verse number 16 and 17 and 18, Cain goes out from the presence of the Lord. He dwells in the land of Nod and dwells on the east of Eden. This is, I believe, obviously beyond where Adam and Eve had gone to. Adam and Eve had gone, I believe, to the east of Eden. And Cain goes farther away from them on the east of Eden into the land of Nod. And looking at that word Nod, it seems to carry the meaning of the curse that God had placed upon him. It's, I believe, a reference to the land of wanderings. The land of wanderings. Somebody said that there's no rest for the wicked. And I don't know where that saying originated or who came up with it, but it certainly can be applied to Cain. God told him, as a consequence of his slaying of Abel, that he would have no rest. He would be a vagabond. He would be a sojourner. He would be constantly on the move. And so he begins by moving towards the east of Eden, to the east of where Adam and Eve would have been dwelling. I believe he wanted to get away from God. I believe he wanted to get away from his mom and dad. I believe he wanted to get away from all the godly influences that were presently in existence. And he went out towards the east of Eden. And verse 17 tells us he knew his wife. He knew his wife. She conceived and bare a son by the name of Enoch. Now, as we look at the descendants of Cain, you will find many similarities in name amongst the descendants of Seth. So we're not being repetitious. We're not getting confused. Some of the same names that are found in Cain's genealogy are found in Seth. In fact, this Enoch that we find in verse number 17 is the last of Seth's descendant before Noah builds and enters the ark. And we're told in the 17th verse, he knew his wife and she brought forth a son and they named him Enoch. And then we see in verse number 17 that Cain immediately began to build a city. He continually seems to be in rebellion against God. God told him you're going to be a vagabond. God told him you're going to constantly be on the move. And so what he does is he begins to build a city. He begins to take root. He begins to do the opposite of what God had told him he was going to do. And he began to build a city. And he called the name of that city after that firstborn son, Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and unto Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. These are the descendants, if you would, of Cain, going from Adam, moving towards God's destroying the earth with Noah's flood. And then we read in verse number 19, all the way to verse number 24, the rest of our text for this morning, about Lamech. And verse 19 through 24 deal with the descendants of Lamech. And we read that Lamech took unto him two wives. Already, by the time Lamech comes around, the practice, the lifestyle of Cain is multiplying. We find polygamy. We'll find in the continuation of our reading that he was a killer, that under certain circumstances he had taken a man's life. Some say it was in self-defense, but it doesn't change the fact that this line that came from Cain was the line of sinful, disobedient human beings. Ultimately, it's this line and this seed that populates the earth and has the earth get so wicked and so ungodly that God says, I've had enough. I'm going to destroy it all. But Noah found grace, we're told, in the eyes of the Lord. So Lamech takes unto himself two wives, Adah and Zillah. And Adah bare Jabel. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. The word cattle there is a pretty broad term. It could not only mean those that deal with cows and bulls and split hoof type animals, but it would have also included shepherds and those that would have worked with animals. It's really a reference to husbandry, according to that 20th verse. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. Through this line of Cain, we find music coming. Harp, most likely referring to stringed instruments. The organ, speaking most likely of wind instruments. So you see this bringing forth of children, this bringing forth of generations after Cain has the curse of God put upon his life. And you see that they progress along. God, for lack of a better way of putting it, God seems to allow Cain to be blessed. He brings forth children. He brings forth descendants. And they bring forth inventions and advancements amongst mankind. And verse number 22, and Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, who was an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. So you see progress. You see advancement. This is a critical passage of Scripture because when we get to the time of the flood and the time of Noah building the ark, where'd all the wicked people of the world come from? They most likely would have all come through the lineage of Cain. And God preserved himself a line of godly people through the line of Seth, which we will get to most likely next week in this final descendant of his is seen in Noah's building and going into the ark. In verse number 23 and 24, and Lamech said unto his wives, they tell us, those who have such knowledge and such understanding of these things, that this 23rd and 24th verse are actually a song. They're actually maybe even a poem of sorts. And so Lamech sings this song, or he recites this poem that he had written to his wives, Adah and Zillah. He says unto them, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, or I have slain a man who wounded me. Or, again, here's where they believe he killed in self-defense. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God created man, and God created Adam and Eve. They brought forth two sons. Through one came the godly line, or would come the godly line, and through one came the ungodly line. And this passage of scripture today tells us the details. Seven generations of people from Adam to the time of the flood. Seven descendants of Adam through Cain all the way up to the time of the flood. It's a critical passage of scripture. Just as the study of Seth is a critical passage of scripture, because God relates to us in his line all of those that were a part of the godly line, the godly seed. Most important, with God recording for us Seth's lineage, was because Seth's lineage built upon the promise that God gave Eve, that through her seed would come the Messiah, would come the Savior. Through her seed would come the one that would deliver, the one that would destroy Satan. Satan would constantly be a pest, but there was one coming who was going to destroy the works of Satan, injure him and wound him to the head and to his ultimate destruction. And it is from Adam through the line of Seth that we trace and eventually come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is an important passage of scripture. Where does man come from? Well, if we search the scriptures, we find out. Where did sin come from? If we search scriptures, we find out. Where did the wicked line, where did the ungodly folks in this world come from? He's telling us right here in this passage of scripture. Where does this line that leads to the Messiah and leads to the Savior, where does this line come from? Well, we find it in scripture. Where did it originate? We find it in scripture and in our study of the book of Genesis. And God continues to maintain that holy line, that line of God-fearers and God-worshippers, until Jesus ultimately comes. And you can find in the New Testament records concerning the genealogy of Jesus Christ that takes us backwards. into the Old Testament, and we can go all the way back to the time that we're reading about in our studies on Sunday morning. So all the wicked, all the sinful, the unbelievers, the God rejectors, can be said at this point to trace their lineage back to Cain. And I want you to think now a little bit about the subject of progress. I want us to think for a little bit about progress without God. Progress without God. Cain rebelled. Cain got angry. Cain disobeyed God. Cain slew his brother. Cain brought the curse of God upon him. And verse 16 tells us and told us this morning that Cain fled from the presence of the Lord. He wanted to get away from God. He wanted to get away as far away as he could from God. He wanted to get away from his mom and dad. He wanted to get away from all those memories. Not just because of the curse, but because he was a sinner. But we read here in this passage of Scripture his progress without God. He leaves God behind. He goes away from God. But you see progress, don't you? He knows his wife, and they have children, and those children have children. The population of the world grows, all because of the progress that can be seen in regards to Cain. They went out, they had kids. He builds a city. A city. That's significant. That speaks of his progress. They left God, they left family, they left any semblance of God or godliness, and yet they brought forth cattlemen, musicians, metal workers. This portion of Scripture relates to us that before the flood, man was not this ignorant cave dweller that he so often made out to be. But man progressed and man advanced and man had gifts. And as he fled from the presence of the Lord, we see progress in the line of Cain. Progress. But we need to understand that progress is not a sign of God's blessing. Progress is not a sign of God's being pleased. Progress is sometimes allowed by God to accomplish his purpose, his will, his ways, and accomplish those things that he has predetermined that would happen and will happen. I think it was sometime last year we spoke on this subject. We heard of it similarly in Sunday school. You can't always take progress as a sign that God's pleased. So many times people look at their lives, well, I'm making more money, I have more of this, I have more of that. They look at God's blessing, if you would, upon their lives, and they think because they have signs of God's blessings upon their life that God is pleased. That's not always the case. Sometimes progress comes to those that are out of God's will. Sometimes progress comes to those that are fleeing from God. Sometimes prosperity comes to those who don't want anything to do with God, don't want anything to do with their families who are Christians, don't want anything to do with the things of God. Progress sometimes comes in spite of a person's wickedness or disobedience. Because you see, in the progress of Cain and this lineage that is laid before us in these verses today, that not only did they progress in a lot of physical things and talents and abilities, they also progressed in wickedness. They also progressed in sinfulness. So much so that Lamech, the last one that is mentioned leading up to the time of Noah and the destruction of the flood, Lamech has multiple wives. He confesses to the fact that he's killed a man. And so they progress not only in physical things and abilities and talents, but their wickedness also continued. They progressed into disobedience, polygamy, and killing. And they have, in the seed that came after the flood, have continued to progress. I think about our country, the United States of America. And I was thinking, I'm getting old. I remember thinking back when a time was we would think 20 years ago, the United States turned its back on God and has been suffering the consequences ever since. But as time has marched on, I've had to expand that 20 or 30 years to now to having to preach, well, you know, 50 years ago, America rejected God. Well, time has progressed and time has marched along, and I had to revise it again, and in light of this morning's message, I have to say about 75 years ago, around the 1950s is a good indicator, America rejected God. America began to kick God out, began to kick God's word, God's commandments, the things of God, the ways of God. About 75 years ago in the 50s, America began to reject God. And you notice during those last 75 years, though, much progress has been made. It's amazing what man knows today, what man is able to do today, the communications and the technologies and all the wonders that are a part of the world today, even medically speaking. 50, 75 years ago, we didn't have any of this knowledge. And yet, as we began to reject God, as we began to turn away from God, we see much progress. Think about the last 50 to 75 years, all the inventions and all of the devices and all of the knowledge and all that man has come up with, in spite of the fact that they went away from the presence of the Lord. In these last 75 years, many wonders, many inventions, many devices, much technology. It's just amazing what we can do today that 75 years ago would have been thought, no way, that's not going to happen, you can't do that, that'll never happen, and all of this has. And just like the descendants of Cain that experienced progress without God and advanced society and civilization, much like those descendants also increased wickedness, the United States can be seen along those same lines. As we've gotten too big for God, don't believe in God, casting God out, removing his commandments, despising his word. Not only has there been many inventions and devices and much expansion of knowledge, but man and our country during these last 75 years have exploded in regards to wickedness. The things that go on in our country today that 50 years ago wouldn't have ever been heard of, 75 years ago, nobody would ever believe that would happen in America. It's happening in America. You look at the wickedness, the ungodliness, the immorality, the things that are blatantly put on television as entertainment, things that are blatantly promoted even in man's commercials and advertisements. When you look at the blatant sinfulness of man, how people will walk down the street and they're not ashamed to do whatever they want to do. When you look at the great wickedness of this land, it has all come along this pattern of progress without God. Progress without God. Cain and his descendants progressed. His lineage progressed. Many advancements were found in the lineage of these generations that are born and brought into the world, and their wickedness constantly increases. And in our own country, there's great wickedness that is commonplace. So much so, I kind of have to say, most of us sitting here, most of us here, don't wink an eye at some of the sins and the wickedness that we see going on in our country. We're calloused. We've gotten so used to this. The killing of babies, homosexuality, immorality, the casting off of any restraints, the mentality that says, do whatever you want to, nobody's going to hold you accountable, and nobody's going to find fault with you. And if anybody finds fault with you and what you're doing, well, we'll punish them. Most of us see things on a day-to-day basis that years ago generations would have recoiled at. But you and I, we're used to it. We're used to this. And that's a shame. So there's great progress found in the line of Cain with God absent. With God absent. God allows it because we do find in Scripture the thought that it rains upon the just and the unjust. God blesses all the people of the world many times in spite of their sin, in spite of their rejection of Him. God sends blessings sometimes, or allows blessings sometimes, to keep people in their sin. He allows the devil to bless people because by blessing people, they justify their sins as being okay, and they stay in their sins. Progress without God. We all experience it. We all see it. Some are living it, sinning without any recoil at all, seeing sin and not recoiling by it. I want to ask you this morning, how much progress have you made without God? How much progress have you made without God? Are you here and you've gotten away from God? Are you here and you've disobeyed God? Are you here and you've cast God away? Are you here and you've moved away from God? Are you here and you moved away from home and you moved away from family and you moved away from any semblance of God and religion? Are you here having moved away from God and yet experiencing progress? You think that the sin in your life, the disobedience in your life, it's all okay. Because after all, look, I'm so blessed. Are you progressing and going down a line of progress without God? Have you gone away from the presence of God? Have you gone away from the presence of family? Have you gone away from the presence of church and going to church and the things of the Lord? Where do you stand this morning when we speak about progress without God? Have you moved away from God, stepped away from God, left God behind, but you're feeling pretty good because after all, you're so blessed. You're so blessed. But I want to ask you another question. Not only do I ask you about your progress without God, as you've moved away from God, disobeyed God, rebelled against God, gone in the opposite direction of God, and all that is truth, godly. How are you doing as far as progressing without God? Have you gone from the presence of the Lord? Have you gone away from the Lord? Well, here's the most sobering question I think I could ask you. Do you sit here this morning rejected of God? That's ultimately what happened to Cain. He was rejected of God. God said to him, if you do right, won't you be accepted? And I don't want to humanize God or read anything in the scripture that's not there. But it's like God was, as I've spoken of in the last couple of weeks, pleading with Cain to take that second chance. If you do right, won't you be blessed? It's like God was promising, if you'll do right, I'll receive it. But Cain refused to do right. So God cast him aside. He went out into the world away from God and the things of God, the people of God, away from family, away from all those indicators of spiritual blessing, and ended up rejected by God. All of those descendants that are in our text this morning all ended up progressing, but forsaking God, moving away from God, going in the opposite direction of God, and ultimately God rejecting them. This line of people will come to the time of Noah, and God will say, I had enough. I've had enough. I'm going to destroy them all. All of the descendants of Cain died with the flood. God said, I've had enough. And he required their ultimate punishment and destruction. And God still works that way today. We forsake God, we leave God, we go from the presence of the Lord, family and church and things that are spiritual in nature. We think we're okay because of signs of being blessed. Are you ultimately, though, rejected by God? People say, how will I know? I think the only way you can know you're not rejected of God is to see your sin, see yourself a sinner, repent of your sins, and believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Because that line of Seth that brings us to Noah in the flood will take us beyond that to the Savior, Jesus Christ. The line of godly people will ultimately display themselves in the Gospels of the New Testament. And Jesus Christ will come. And why did Jesus Christ come? Jesus Christ come to save sinners from their sins. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. But he came through this line that was promised there in the garden. He came through this line that is seen in the generations of Seth leading up to the flood. He comes through this line that springs forth from Noah and his descendants. And the only way you can know you're not rejected of God, not forever cast off by God, not forever going to be destroyed by God, the only way you can know you're not is by being saved. Through the only way salvation is available, and that's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. What are you famous for today? Think of all the things that the descendants of Cain were famous for. There's some things mentioned that they were famous for before the time of the flood. But they weren't famous for piety. They weren't famous for spiritual things. They weren't famous for knowing God, for a relationship with God, for serving God, for believing in God, for worshiping God. Abel worshiped God acceptably, and he is known forever as the one who worshiped acceptably. Cain refused to worship acceptably, and he is forever known as the one who did not, who refused to worship acceptably. And Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And what are you known by today? Are you known as one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's a worshiper of God, who has a relationship with God and sweet communion with God? Are you known or are you famous for being a sinner? Being lost, not having any relationship with God. What good is that fame going to do you? All the fame that the world has to offer, what good is it going to do you if you don't know Jesus Christ? What does it amount to? You have all the success the world has to offer, and you know not Jesus Christ. Does it amount to anything more than the descendants of Cain realized? See, as we've studied through Revelation, we've constantly made the statement, these things are real. They're really going to happen. Well, when we look back at Genesis, we say these things were real. These things really did happen. Cain really did kill his brother. Cain really did reject God. Cain really did run off into the world to make a name for himself. Cain multiplied and Cain brought forth a population of people who knew not God, who did not believe in God, did not worship God. He's famous, if you would, only to be rejected by God and his seed destroyed. All the fame in the world that you can say Cain gained in this passage of Scripture this morning didn't amount to anything when the end of his life came. I think it was Christ himself who asked the question, what is a man profited? What gain is there to an individual? Let's make it personal. What gain is there to you, my friend, this morning? What gain is it if you gain, earn, possess, have all the world to your claim? What good does it do you if you're going to die without Jesus Christ? You're going to leave it. It's going to be somebody else's. Cain and his descendants fled from God, but they experienced some blessing, but it didn't amount to anything in the end. If you're running from God, I'm not going to believe in that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go the road mom and dad go down. I'm not going to have anything to do with that religious stuff. Where are you going to end up if you know not Jesus Christ as your Savior? Progress without God, is that what you've got? How better off is one to have progress with God? How better off is one to have no progress but to have God? You're the richest man in the world if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you don't have a penny in your pocket. Progress without God, is that all you have today? Oh, that the Holy Spirit would convict you. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would drive like a Mack truck into your heart, saying, you're a sinner. You have nothing to show for your life because of sin. Oh, that he would drive home not only that fact that you're a sinner, but all that he would drive home into your heart. Believe. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've got something. You've got everything. You've got something to show for in your life. Everybody here has it in their mind how they define success. But there's only one definition for success, and that's knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you possess that kind of success? Do you have progress without God? Or do you have the progress of God by knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior? Let's stand together.